There's like a booby trap. Y'all see that come off? Tried to wrap my legs up. That'd been terrible. I started up here and this thing come off, wrapped around my legs and fell, and ended up going to the emergency room. Missing 2 or 3 weeks. Rodney told me, I said, where was you at this morning? He said he knew I was going to be back. He knew I was preaching. He always has a good way to keep me humble, I guess. And but anyway, it's certainly a joy to be back here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to the book of Ephesians, I actually prepared this sermon when I had, I don't know if it was 101, 102 temperature, so if it's a little crazy, you can blame it on that. So some of them, I had some really crazy thoughts and ideas trying to sleep with fever, and I'm glad those things are past now. You know, I do know this, that when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was saved as a little boy at Dim Street Baptist Church. I was walking out, God saved me. And I remember when, as a teenager, my grandma wanted me to go to church with her, and I'd promised her I'd go, and I'd hear Brother Price preach at Kidder, and it'd just about kill me, hear him preaching. And I just thought, how does this guy know everything I've been doing? Thought Papa been calling and telling. That wasn't the case. But you know, the Word of God brings conviction. You try to find somebody to blame. And but I remember when I really got serious with God. Got under conviction one Sunday morning, came up, and I said, I'm not going to live my life the way I've been raised. I made that determination. This wasn't going to happen. I've really sold out. I can remember that it even got to irritate me a little bit sitting back there with some of the teenagers, because they like to talk, whisper, pass notes, and I was busy with my crayons trying to keep up with the preacher and my Bible following along and highlighting and marking and keeping notes. And so it about drove me crazy. So I had to move up to the amen section. They had an amen corner at Kidder. And so I got right up there, and it wasn't long that I was amening too. And I remember Brother Price, he said, I think we don't have to worry about Grant anymore. I think he's good. And when you get promoted the way I did from the back, passing notes up to the amen corner, you're doing good. And so it was a different thing in my life. Desires were different when I got serious with God. Desires just way different. I mean, suddenly, I want you to understand, I desired to be right with God. I wanted to be pleasing to Him. I was conscious of the things I did, the things I said, the places I went. Before, I'd go to places, wouldn't think anything about it. But suddenly now, I was very conscious of where I was at. But not only that, I had a desire for the Bible. I mean, it was just, I couldn't get enough. I mean, I was like a fat boy, you might say, at an ice cream parlor, just putting enough there for me. I would read and graze and just go through it and contemplate and constantly open the Bible to read, see what God's Word had to say for me. But also I had a desire for the body of Christ. I want to tell you, even my family that was religious didn't go to church on Sunday nights, and I can remember it was such a wonderful thing to me. And I looked down at the church sign, fellowshipping outside at the Kidder Church, and seeing they had a Sunday night service. That just thrilled my soul. Now, the rest of my family didn't thrill them so much. You know why? Because they weren't as close to God as they ought to be in. Let's just be honest. They weren't as close to God. But that meant if I was going to start going, they wanted to encourage me. Guess what they had to start doing? They had to start going too. So, man, it just disrupted a lot of people's lives once an individual gets right with God. Why? Because now's different than what it would have been without Christ. Do you understand? Now's different. I want you to look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And I don't have a whole lot of notes, so it really don't mean much when it comes to the context, how long a preacher will preach. But the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at the time past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ. Notice that. But now in Christ. There's a difference once you're in Christ. Your now is marked different than it was before you was in Christ. He's, but now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, and making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I am thankful for the hope that we have. I'm thankful that today my now is different. And I pray, God, that we all as your people would examine the things that we desire. And God, may we see if we really are in Christ. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian life begins at the new birth. There's no doubt about that. You read the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Nicodemus began to dialogue with Jesus, and Jesus simply told him that he must be born again. And Nicodemus must have looked at him funny, and he said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb again?" And Jesus said, "If you don't understand spiritual things or earthly things, how are you going to understand if I explain to you spiritual things?" You see, the new birth is the result of our personal faith in Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say to you, when you have genuine faith in Christ, there is a new creature in Christ. And that's what we see in the text. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off," those that were lost, that were aliens from the promises of God, those that were on the outskirts, you might say, are brought nigh to God because of our faith in Christ. Our now is different than what it would have been, because now we are creatures in Christ Jesus with new desires. I want to say our now is different. Our now, our present, is different because of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a new man, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and 15. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," what? "He is a new creature." I want to tell you, something new is something that's different than something that's old. If you don't believe it, right? I heard a fellow one time, he said he bought his wife a pair of leather pants. And people asked him why. He said, "I'd like her to smell like a new car." Okay? Like the new car smell. I like the new car smell, all right? It beats the old car smell, all right? It beats one jumping in smelling like an old dog that's been wet laying around in it. Listen, I like new things. There's just, something new is different than something that's old. Can we not agree with that? And let me just tell you something. If you're in Christ, you ought to be different than the old person. I don't know if there ought to be a new smell, but there ought to be some things that you can look at and hang around, and you can tell by evidence that there's some things that's different. So let me say this. If someone's a new person in Christ, a new convert, what do they desire? Three things. Pretty simple here. Not a complicated message tonight. And it may not help some, but I want you to understand, if you're a young Christian, and even if you're an older Christian, this ought to just send some alarms off. I want to say the first thing, I believe this. Every person that's been saved desires baptism. They've been saved. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe it's natural. Somebody tell me they've been saved, but they don't desire to be baptized. You know what I question? I question their motives of whether they really were saved. That's what I think. Because you don't have to explain. Just somehow people understand, you get saved, you're supposed to be baptized. I mean, people understand that. You don't have to explain that. You tell them, maybe they don't understand all the ins and outs about it, but mostly, if someone truly been saved, they'll want to be baptized. In fact, I challenge you to show me where anybody was converted in the New Testament that did not have a desire for baptism or didn't follow up with baptism. You're going to have a hard time proving it, right? I know on the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, I know all those people were added to the church and were baptized. And I know before Jesus ascended in heaven, there were 500 brethren that had not been, that had witnessed his resurrection. There was only 120 on the church row. So there were some people evidently that hadn't been baptized. But I tell you what I believe happened when they heard the preaching of Peter. I believe they got baptized, perhaps even on the day of Pentecost. You see, they had a desire in their heart. And you'll study through the book of Acts. In fact, turn to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Turn there with me in the Word of God. I want you to see this. In Acts chapter number 8, the Bible tells us the account of a man that was an Ethiopian eunuch. And he had been to Jerusalem. And he had been there, and he was searching to find out who the true and the living God was. God spoke to a man by the name of Philip and told him to go toward the south and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza in the desert. Philip was right in the middle of a revival. God spoke to him and said, "Leave." Why? Because God's interested not only in the crowds, God's interested in the one. And God sent him down to this individual, and he went And he sees a man of Ethiopia, the Bible says, verse 27, eunuch of great authority, and he was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he's reading Isaiah the prophet. Just so happened, he's reading Isaiah 53. And so, while he's reading in his chariot, Isaiah 53, the Spirit of God speaks to Philip and says, go join yourself with him in the chariot. Now, Philip, he runs. He doesn't hesitate. He just obeys what God says to do to him. And he runs up and looks at the man. He says, you understand what you're reading? And the man says, listen, how can I unless some man guide me? I don't know if he's talking about some other prophet, if he's talking about himself. I don't know what he's talking about. And Philip took that scripture of Isaiah 53. And I want to tell you, if you can't preach Jesus Christ out of Isaiah 53, something's wrong with you. There wasn't nothing wrong with Philip. He preached, the Bible says, unto him Jesus. See, that's what he preached on. He preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, guess what happened? This man gets under conviction and he says, listen, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Now, I remember sitting at Clear Creek one time, Clear Creek Baptist Bible College, and everybody loved their NIVs and all kinds of strange Bible versions. They had every kind under the sun. And I was sitting there, but I knew this, that in the King James Version that it says, as you read right there, he says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And you'll find the NIV, they just immediately went down the water and got baptized. And so me and about four other independent Baptist preachers, that's where we sat. That was our amen corner. We saw this evangelist up there. We was having a fit. And we was like, come on, brother, preach. Come on, preach it. Go another verse. Man, we just laid into it. I know he thought we was crazy. He thought we was crazy. We knew what we was doing. Because let me just tell you something. Getting baptized don't save you. Amen. Getting baptized don't save you. The NIV just jumps ahead and baptizes him. But you read in the King James, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. If you believe with all thine heart, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, what the Bible says. He said, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was his declaration of faith. Philip pulled over the chariot and he baptized that man. Why? Because a new believer, let me tell you, his now's different. Before he heard the message of the gospel, probably had not much of a desire to be baptized. But once he hears of Jesus and he gets saved, he wants to be baptized. And I believe this, everybody that's saved ought to be baptized. Number one, because I believe it's obedience to the command of Christ. Number two, I believe it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a gospel presentation to everybody that looks onward. And thirdly, it identifies you with the most precious thing that Christ has in this world, and that's His church. You see, I believe that is all-encompassing, all-important. So there's a desire for every believer to be baptized. Let me tell you this. There's a desire for the Bible as well. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Wouldn't it be awesome if we opened up the Bible like we played with our iPhones? Wouldn't it be awesome if we read the Bible as quickly as we turn on the news in the morning? Wouldn't it be awesome if we read the Bible just as much interest and passion as we do reading about our favorite sports teams and seeing how Kentucky's doing and where they're ranked? Wouldn't it be just wonderful if we could get up tomorrow morning and have such a desire for the Word of God that it surpasses breakfast? May I say to you, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter number 2 that you'll find in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. Let me tell you something. Newborn babes desire milk. Christians ought to, especially new Christians, ought to have a different now. That now is desire the Word of God. There's something wrong. We think that's just for babies. That's just for little Christians. They ought to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says they may grow thereby. I got news for you. There ain't too many spiritual giants walking around. Amen? You know what most of us need? We still yet, every day, not most of us, all of us, we still need the Word of God. People want to be productive. They want to be strong and healthy, spiritually speaking. Let me tell you what the greatest thing. Listen, Brother Harvey's preached to me about, listen, you need to take your vitamins, you need to do this, and I know the vitamins are good, amen, they're good for you, and we ought to, and I'm not opposed to any of those things. In fact, I think there's a lot of good things out there. But let me tell you something, we need our spiritual vitamins too. If we want spiritual vitality, we need the nutrients that we can only find from the Word of God. You're not going to get it just listening to a song go down the road. You're not going to get it just by going to church and hearing a preacher preach a sermon. You know what you need? You need the Bible for yourself. It's the key for which we get saved. Now let me just say, there's several things that I can say about this. In fact, I want to say to you, you see, your Bible is what brings about conversion as well. In the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me tell you what it takes to be saved. It takes, before faith, if they respond or birth, it takes the hearing of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. It's the incorruptible seed. I would submit to you today that that's what we need for our spiritual vitality. In fact, in the book of Ephesians 4 and 18, you're going to find that as you read in the book of Ephesians, that it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Without God, we were blind. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, turn over there and let it look at you, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I believe it's 14, that the truth of the matter is we have inability to understand spiritual things without the Spirit of God being in our heart. We can't understand this book. We can't understand its spiritual value and its spiritual truths until we get born again by the incorruptible seed. And once we get born again, the Spirit of God's living within us. And then suddenly, this thing's like somebody's turned the light on, and we begin to understand the Word of God. We ought to desire it as babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Here's what Paul says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I got news for this is a spiritual book. It must be spiritually discerned. And it says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I got news for you. You'll never understand this Bible till you are saved. And once you are saved, if you want to understand what God wants to do in your life and what God wants to do in this world and understand this book, you've got to read it. Amen. It's amazing to me. People will stand and say, I don't know how to fix that. And they got a set of instructions right before them. I mean, don't it drive you crazy? There's some things sometimes we have tear up in the house. I think I'd just rather go buy a new one. But sometimes you get out the instructions and you find the way through it. You get through the Spanish section, so this don't make any sense to me. Right? And you find the English part, then you start moving over through. And it says, do this, this, and this. And boom, voila, it works amazing, amazing. You want me to tell you what worked in a lot of people's lives? Why their life is not working for them is because they've got out of the book. Let me tell you something. If you've been saved, you ought to desire to be baptized. And you don't tell you this, and I'm not trying to scare you, not trying to shake you up, but if you profess Christ and you don't have a desire to be a part of the Lord's church and identify with the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you what, I'd worry about my salvation. I just would. And let me just tell you this, secondly, I believe this, you ought to desire the Word of God. You ought to have a hunger for it. Listen, it is the water that brings about the birth. And let me say this to you. The Bible is also the very thing that cleans up our lives. Do you realize that? Jesus said in John 15:3 that you are clean through my Word. In Ephesians 5 and 26, see what the Word of God says here. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Let me tell you what is the soap of our lives. It is the Word of God. You're not convinced enough? Look in the book of Psalms, Psalms 119. Turn to Psalms 119. See what the psalmist says. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. The Bible tells us in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Let me just tell you something. Every Christian, and especially every young Christian and every old Christian, we all desire the Bible. We ought to desire it. It'll clean us up. It'll straighten us up. It'll guide us. The things that were once dark and alienated from our minds, the things that we couldn't understand, once we get saved by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and I want to tell you something, suddenly those things aren't spiritually darkened to us anymore. It's like the Holy Spirit turns the light on and we can understand, and we have the instructions before us and we have the instructions before us. We know how to live our lives. It'd be like trying to go from here to California and you say, I don't know how to get there. But you got a GPS, don't you? Now some people don't like their GPS. So, well, that thing took me down the wrong road. Well, GPSs aren't perfect, but I'll tell you one thing, they're a lot better than me going on a whim. Huh? You got to get there a lot closer by me following my GPS than I am just following my instincts. Amen? I got to go to California to follow my instincts. I'll end up in South Carolina. Amen. I mean, that's how my instincts are. Let me just tell you something. The Word of God never lead you wrong. It will get you there. Let me say this thirdly. I believe this. I believe the desire of now is this. I believe once someone's truly saved. Now, he says this, but now in Christ Jesus, I believe they desire to be part of the Lord's body. First John chapter 3, verse 14. I want you to see what John wrote. First John chapter 3 and verse number 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. It talks about that conversion experience. In the very beginning, the now, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He's still dead. Let me just tell you something. That group I used to think was nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, phonies, and fakes, and frauds. Suddenly, when I got right with God, I fell in love with them. Huh? And you know what? Not only did I used to try to avoid them, now I wanted to be around them. Now I wanted to their company. Let me tell you something. If you really get in Christ, you're going to desire to be around God's people. In fact, I had a stronger desire to be around God's people than I did my own family. And I will say, I believe that is natural. You see, and it's wonderful when your family is part of the family of God, but when they're not, I want to tell you, friends, you have desire to be around God's people. Let me just tell you something. In the book of Acts chapter 2, early on in the infancy of the church, in Acts chapter number 2, you'll find this. I've always been amazed by this. The Bible says, then they that gladly received His word, verse 41, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, but notice this, in fellowship. They liked each other. Breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. But notice this. They continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Now some people say, well, that means the Lord's Supper. I don't think so. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I no doubt they observed the Lord's Supper, but from house to house. You know what that says to me? They liked each other so much. They hung out with one another. They ate with one another. They hung around one another. They wanted each other's company. They were in great unity, and the Bible tells us that there they had all things common. The house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now notice this, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You want me to tell you what was something different about their now? Every one of these people now, instead of running away from each other, not being interested in one another, they were interested genuinely in each other's affairs. And their life centered around each other. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I know the universalists jump on those verses and say that, well, that we're in one spirit, we're baptized in one body, but do remember that speaking to the church of God, which is at Corinth, and also remember that word by is an epsilon and nu in the Greek, and that it's a preposition, it means in, not necessarily by, not necessarily wrong, but you can interpret things wrong, and that means that they were in unison of spirit in one body. Let me just tell you something. They were one body and unison of spirit, and they loved one another. They loved one another, and they desired to be with each other, and they understood that each person of the body was important. Not only the preacher, but every single member of the church was important. Why? Because they were part of that body.
And it says, listen, I want you to understand that he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes afar off. I'm thankful our now is different once we're in Christ. Listen, I believe that people come along and say, well, they love Jesus, but they don't love the church. If you want to come to me and say, well, I like you, Grant, but I hate your wife, do you think I'm going to like that individual? No. Somebody says, well, Grant, I like you, but I hate your kid. I probably ain't going to care for them too much. You know, I don't believe somebody. When they tell me they love Jesus, but they don't love his church, I don't believe them. You say, Brother Grant, that's harsh. And we live in a time of tolerance, and we ought to be kind to people. I got news for you. According to the scriptures, I have a hard time going along with that. I just have a hard time. Don't tell Jesus that you love him, but you hate his bride. It ain't going to go well for you. That'll not stand in the day of judgment. You see, let me say to you, if you've been born again, now ought to be different for you. And if your now's not different, something's wrong. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Not complicated. But I'm thankful that God puts new desires. I think you ought to have a desire for those things. Father, pray God tonight that everybody's desire. Everybody I know here, you look fine to me, look wonderful on the outside, and people are faithful. God, it's Super Bowl night, and people are here in the house of God. So Father, I thank you for everyone that's here, but help us to realize that there ought to be some things different. There ought to be some desires in people's lives if they really know you, if they really love you. I shouldn't have to manipulate anybody into being baptized if they really, really know you as Savior. God, help me to be mindful of that. And God, help us to be mindful of that, because sometimes we're so zealous in this world to get people baptized that we may miss the fact that their greatest need is not baptism. The greatest need may really be saved. So, Father, we pray that Jesus will be the one that's exalted, that he be lifted up, and that people would understand that baptism does not save, but it does identify us with Christ. And the reason we can be identified with Christ is because we've truly been born again. It's just a picture of what took place in the inside, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We died to our old self, been buried, and raised to walk again in newness of life. God, how we all desire the Bible, as babies desire milk that they might grow. May we desire the fellowship and the harmony and the unity of your body. Because you've told us that's one of the first signs we pass in death unto life, that we love the brethren. God, help us love one another and be an example in this world. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.